We don't hear from old Zephaniah that often. There may be some of you, if I'd said, is there a prophet named Zephaniah in the Bible? You might have said, who? Or you might have confused him with Zechariah, who's right there as well. But Zephaniah is writing these words at an interesting time in the history of the Hebrew people. We don't know much about Zephaniah except what's in the book. We're told who some of his ancestors were. It's even thought he might have been Egyptian, not sure. But he does say he's writing at the time of King Josiah. And this is a moment in the history of Israel and Judah that was fraught with a lot of anxiety. The Assyrian Empire was not as strong as it once had been. The Assyrians, who had come down from the north and not quite captured Jerusalem, they'd been driven back, but they were still out there. And meanwhile, there was another empire, the Babylonians, growing as well and would be a threat in the next century. Of course, there may not have ever have been a time in history, given the position of Israel, that there wasn't some empire waiting to just come through there anyway. So maybe it's true that the whole history of this part of the world has always been fraught with tension and anxiety. But there was also hope at this moment. King Josiah is often held up as the last great king of Judah. He was a king who helped implement a number of reforms in both the nation, but also in the church and the temple. It was under the King Josiah that the book of Deuteronomy was rediscovered and some of those laws, and he tried to implement those. So Zephaniah is writing at a time of great anxiety, but also hopefulness. Perhaps not unlike our time. Perhaps not unlike all times. And it's worth noting, I think, there are two commands that Zephaniah offers in this passage. Two imperatives that he gives. Rejoice and do not fear. Rejoice and do not fear. No matter what else is going on in the world, in your lives, no matter what anxiety you may be feeling, rejoice and do not fear. And those are very much Advent messages as well. Rejoice. Do not fear. But Zephaniah is not just offering sort of a Pollyanna-ish pie-in-the-sky theology here. He tells us why we are to rejoice and not to fear. He says, rejoice and do not fear because the Lord is in your midst. Now that is truly an Advent message. I've mentioned in previous sermons that Advent is this time that kind of transcends time and the flow of time. You may remember the words from Revelation we read a number of weeks ago, that the Lord is the one who was and is coming. And Zephaniah has that feel, as one commentator said about it, the bottom line of this passage is, it's all about what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. And in Advent, all of that comes together. This interesting moment when we are waiting to celebrate something that already happened, the birth of Jesus, and we are waiting for what is yet to happen, the coming of Jesus again, and yet that event which is to happen is already happening. And so Advent is this weird time in which we kind of live in all times. And Zephaniah reminds us, the Lord is in your midst, right here, right now. You're waiting, you're preparing, and yet God is with you. The Lord is with you already. And somehow Advent invites us to hold all of this together. No matter what may be going on in our world and our lives, to know with certainty, even as we wait, that what we're waiting for is not just certain, but is already happening. The Lord is here. It's the kind of things I ponder sitting with my cat Fred on a snowy Sunday last week. But Zephaniah also goes on, and something else caught my eye in this passage. Zephaniah is saying, not just the Lord is in your midst, he then begins to describe the Lord, the one who is coming but is already here. He describes the Lord as a warrior who is bringing victory. Oh, now that may perk you up a bit. The Lord is coming as a warrior, bringing victory, like John Wayne or Clint Eastwood riding into town. As many of the Hebrews expected the Messiah to come on a white horse with a flaming sword to kill all our enemies, or at least all of God's enemies. And of course, those two groups may not be exactly the same. But lest we get too caught up in the warrior image, did you notice what Zephaniah says immediately? The Lord is coming like a warrior bringing victory. He brings calm with his love and rejoicing with singing. He comes to gather the outcasts and deliver the lame, to bring us all back to God. What kind of crazy, mixed up warrior is this? He comes to bring calm with his love? That doesn't sound like John Wayne. No offense to John Wayne, I love John Wayne, but what kind of warrior is this, bringing calm and love? And actually, one way to read the Hebrew here is not just he brings calm, but he comes to soothe with his love. This is a warrior who comes to calm and soothe and bring peace. Maybe even goodwill on earth. This is a warrior who comes singing, not swinging a sword. This is a warrior who comes to bring a victory, which means a victory for all of those who are outcast and lame and overlooked and poor and homeless and suffering. This is the Lord we await at Advent, but who we acknowledge is already in our midst. A Lord of love and calm and peace and deliverance to bring us back to God. Not with a sword, but with singing and calming words. How many of you would like a little bit of soothing calm this time of year? Well, that's what the Lord is bringing. That's what Advent is about waiting for, but also acknowledging is already here, if we help make it be here. Another commentator I was reading was writing, this was a commentary, it was written 3 years ago. Zephaniah is in the three-year lectionary cycle, so it was 3 years ago in Advent that Zephaniah, this passage, was last in lectionary. And this person was writing in Advent 2015. And he was commenting on already the political season that had started at that point. And all of the candidates and all of the talking and all of the stuff associated with that, that seems so long ago, and yet not that long ago. And this writer was saying, boy, we really need old Zephaniah this year? Well, I would suggest to you that has not changed in 3 years. Maybe it has gotten worse. Boy, do we need old Zephaniah this year with a message about the Lord who is coming with love and calm and hope and deliverance to gather all people back to God. Boy, do we need old Zephaniah to remind us of what we are supposed to be focusing most of our efforts on in this Advent season. Rejoicing and not being afraid. Good old Zephaniah. Can't wait to hear from him again in 3 years. Amen.